Well, Psalm 104, I think that like a lot of these psalms, this originated at some point in David's life, but then under inspiration, it was rewritten, clearly I think with relevance to the exiles, and there's therefore a lot of reference to the cherubim. You've got, starting in verse 2, that God is covered with light as with a garment, and the idea of God as a figure shrouded in light is used by Ezekiel when he gives those visions of the cherubim glory with the form of a divine man above them. And that's envisaged as returning to Zion, going into captivity and then returning to Zion to rebuild and restore God's kingdom. But the reality is that that never quite happened. Yes, some, but not many, of the exiles did return and they built a temple, but it was not according to the commandments given in Ezekiel 40-48, and the cherubim, the Shekinah glory of God, did not return there. So 104 verse 3, he lays the beams of his rooms or chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He walks on the wings of the wind. Well, that's clearly a reference again to the cherubim. The clouds as his chariot, the wings of the wind. And he starts planning his chambers in the waters. Well, rooms or chambers, it's the word used about the rebuilding of Zion in Nehemiah 3. It's used in Ezekiel 40, Ezekiel 41, about the chambers of the temple that they were commanded to build. But the Jews didn't build as they were told to build in Ezekiel 40-48. But the idea is here that the cherubim were preparing that. So there was this huge buzz of angelic activity, as it were, over their heads, but they shrugged and preferred the soft life to stay there in Persia. And that's, in my view, the sad ending of the book of Esther. That the Jews are popular, they're wealthy, they're in positions of power in the government. That's why Haman thought that if he liquidated all the Jews, there'd be this massive amount of money he could grab from them and give to the king's treasury. And because of the soft life, they didn't want to see this huge angelic potential that was buzzing above their heads. This way that the cherubim could have gone forth as God's chariots to do the work with them as the wheels, as it were, on the earth. And it's the same with us, that we can get so caught up in material life, in our life in Babylon, in Persia, that we fail to see the huge potential which there is to be and do otherwise. So 104 verse 4, carrying straight on, he makes his angels winds or spirits, his servants flames of fire. Now again, this is making really the connection between the cherubim and the angels sort of apparent. There was this vast system of angels who were eager to get on and restore the kingdom. And we've seen this in Psalm 102, Psalm 103, that Judah in captivity being encouraged to see that there is this huge number of angels ready and willing to work for them. So then God was ready and able and willing through the cherubim, through the angel, to overcome all the opposition to a restored kingdom of God in Israel. And yet the exiles turned it down. It was too much like hard work. They just wanted to stay where they are. You see, we're very conservative. We taste the old wine and we say the old wine is better. This is our problem. Don't let me have to shift from where I am. Verse 5, he laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be moved forever. So then God was not going to allow the Eretz, the land, the earth, promised to Abraham to be moved. He was going to ensure that this kingdom was re-established. And then verse 6, you covered it with the deep as with a cloak, the waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke they fled. Well, this is the language of the flood, and the waters covering the earth, and standing above the mountains, and perhaps the idea is the one great mountain, reading mountains as an intensive plural, the Mount Zion, but those flood waters would go down and reveal a new restored kingdom. That's why in Isaiah 54 verse 9 you've got the same figure, that the years in exile are called the waters of Noah. and they would disappear, and the exiles could return. But, you know, Isaiah goes on in the last part of Isaiah to really lament that the exiles had just not risen up to this possibility. They just wanted to stay worshipping their idols. They wanted the soft life and just a cultural level of identity with the God of Israel that, oh, yes, we are Jews culturally and historically, yes, but, you know, we're caught up here in the life in Babylon. And this is our problem, cultural Christianity. Just sort of going along with a semblance and outward appearance is, I think, our biggest danger. When, as I say, that is this huge system of angelic power above us, ready to help us to get out there and do the things of the kingdom, to build and to restore and to build up God's kingdom, in that sense, on this earth, waiting for the Lord Jesus to come to finally establish his kingdom.